such a wonderful privilege to have an opportunity to come here to Gainesville and to talk with the people and to understand their infirmities and try to share our enthusiasm with them. You know, the one wonderful thing about Jesus is that he is a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We've learned that Jesus is a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And inasmuch as he is a high priest and be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, then that means that when we stumble and fall, we have somebody that can understand. If we didn't have somebody sitting on the right hand of God that had suffered these things and been through them, then he couldn't very well understand when we stumble here in this life. But if we have somebody that has already experienced this, then he can understand when we have problems. How do you love Jesus? Say amen if you love Jesus. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be a child of God. And I really believe that someday God's got a Christian Hall of Fame. I really believe that. Someday, somewhere, there's going to be men like Peter, John, James, and the great men of old, those that have blazed the frontier for God, that's going to be in that Christian Hall of Fame. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the presence of God, don't you? You know, if you can't enjoy your salvation, you don't have anything. You know, you can't have salvation not enjoying it. It takes real Christian living to be able to have salvation. And then that way you can have the joy of Christian living. Now, you know, there's a great joy in singing. How do you know that? There's a great joy in singing. There's a great joy in worshiping God and having the many blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. If we are real, true children of God, then we can enjoy these things. Amen. All right. I want to read to you just a little bit tonight, and I want you to bear with me while I expound the Word of God. You know, to take a little time to hear the Word of God may be the means of having God add years to your life. How do you understand that? Amen. One time a man took a little time for God, God added 15 years to his life. You take just a little time away from God and don't have time to hear the Word of God, God may take 15 years away from our lives. A lot of people are in the grave tonight, Brother Thomas, because they didn't have time to hear the Word of God. Young men, young people are in the grave because they didn't have time to hear the Word of God. They've been cut off and they're in the grave tonight. Others are still alive that should be in the grave by all scientific facts, but they took time to listen to Jesus and they're still alive today. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. I believe it is real. I've experienced it and I know that it's real. All right. We want to read just a little bit from the Word of God to you. And see if we can help you understand things just a little better. In the book of Romans chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles, we'd like for you to read with us. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All right, that's reading a whole chapter there. And in the 28th verse, it says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And we're told in the 17th verse that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And we're told in the 18th verse that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Now, you know, I think most everybody here tonight probably has some knowledge of the Bible or the things of God. And I'm sure that they'll agree tonight that there are things that are happening in this day that has never before happened in the history of mankind in the way that things are taking place now. The Bible said that there is a people, even now, that doth not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, they'll go out to singing, but they won't go out to the gospel. They'll go out to any kind of shindig in the world or anything in the world, but they don't have time to take God into their knowledge. They don't have time to hear the Word of God or to learn anything about Jesus. They will do anything but learn about God. They will do anything but retain the knowledge of God in their understanding. They'll read any kind of book, any kind of sex magazine, or they'll read any kind of love story, or they'll read any kind of novel, or they'll sit and they'll look at any kind of television program or listen to any kind of radio program, and they'll go to college and they'll go to school and they'll learn about this and they'll study science and they'll study football and they'll study races and they'll study basketballs and they'll study jokes and laugh and have a frolic. But when it comes to the knowledge of God, they don't want to know anything about Christ. Hallelujah! They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. And the Bible said because God became angry with them, that He turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. And today they believe everything but the truth. They know everything but the truth. They can tell you about everything but the truth. They go to college and they get great degrees and they measure themselves by themselves. And the Bible said in doing this, they're not very wise. 15 professors will sit around the table and tell somebody because they spent 20 years of their lives studying what 15 more professors learned, that they're greater than somebody else. Measuring themselves by themselves, they're not wise. They'll give them some kind of diploma and say, now you know what I know and what he knows and what she knows and what they know. But the thing is, you don't know what God knows. Hallelujah. What he knows and she knows and they know. That's not what's important. It's what God knows tonight. It's what God has for us tonight, Christian friend. What we need to know tonight is about Jesus. We need to know the truth of God. Don't you agree to that tonight? That's all right to know politics. If you know politics, that's good. But I'll tell you what, when you press your death pillar and the flames of hell reach up for your soul, politics isn't going to do a thing about it. You may have a college education, and if you have that, that's good tonight. But when you press your dying pillar and the flames of hell reach up for your soul, that isn't going to help your condition any. Amen. That's not going to deliver you. You may have thousands of dollars in the bank tonight, and if you have, that's fine. But there's one thing about it, when death reaches for you and the flames of hell is kindled under your feet, that isn't going to do you any good. No man gained the whole world and lose his soul. The Bible said, what hath he profit? What will he give God in that day in exchange for his soul? What will God take in that day as an exchange to give you back your soul? There is nothing that you can offer to God except the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ in that day, you can't offer God anything. Hallelujah. But I'm glad tonight we can have the blood of Jesus Christ. God wants us to have the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. He spilt his blood at Calvary that we might be thankful, that we might be holy, that we might live just and upright before the living God. Hallelujah. So then the Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and men that won't live right. The Bible says the whoremonger and the adulterer and the fornicator and the harlot shall all be turned out of the gates of God and be outside the city. Hallelujah. I'm talking about God tonight. Paul said, I serve God, the Spirit of holiness, with my spirit. God, who is the Spirit of holiness, I serve him with my spirit. Hallelujah. You know, it looks like that the Protestant people could come to one thing, and that's to realize that there's only one religion, and that is holiness. There is no such thing as any other religion outside of holiness. Even the Pope of Rome got enough sense to know that. That's why they call him his holiness. It's because he knows there's nothing else. You love Jesus? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, are you pulling for the Pope tonight? No. As a matter of fact, the Pope, you know, they teach that Peter is the first Pope. But if he is, I don't understand why they don't do what he told them to do. Come on now. I said, if Peter was the first Pope, why don't they obey it? Hallelujah. Peter said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If Peter's the first pope, then the second pope needs to get converted. Hallelujah. And listen to what the first one said. Have you loved Peter? Amen. So then I'm not pulling for the pope tonight. I'm pulling for Jesus. I'm campaigning for Jesus tonight. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. All right, so then the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, brothers and sisters, against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. And Paul tells us in his holy writings that God hath made us the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Can you get a hold of that tonight? Let me tell you something tonight. If you could get a hold of that one scripture tonight, that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. That when you go before God to pray and you call upon the name of the Lord, you go there and you kneel down and you say, Heavenly Father, I am the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about my stumbling and worry about my staggering. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you go before God like that, the Bible said, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help in the time of need. When you go boldly before the throne of grace like that, then God will do something for you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right, so then the Bible teaches that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. I know that what we need tonight is faith in God. We need the faith of Jesus Christ. Is that right? We need the faith of Jesus Christ tonight. The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. And what faith was that? It was the faith of Jesus Christ. Contend for that faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God, because it was the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And brother, when we got the faith of Jesus Christ, we can do anything. Do you believe it? When we've got the faith of Jesus Christ, we can do anything. But I tell you, as long as we depend on our goodness and depend on our righteousness tonight, we'll never have the faith of Jesus Christ. It's going to take the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. As long as we go before God and ask God to do something for us, and every time we ask God to do something, we look up and we have a condemnation burst out in our heart, and our heart condemns us, we'll never have that faith that God promised to us in Christ. Hallelujah. You believe it? Alright. So then what do we have to do? We have to have the righteousness of God. Two men went up in a temple one time, and one fellow stood there and he looked up to heaven and he said, I thank thee, Father, that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I possess. I'm glad I'm not like this heathen, this publican. I'm glad I'm doing all right. I belong to the first church. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this other fellow, he stood there and he just fell down on his knees, so to speak, and he just beat on his chest. And he humbled his heart to God and he said, God, he said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, God. I'm just a poor sinner. Don't have any ability. Don't have any virtue. All I have to offer to you is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the writer there spoke up and said, I tell you, lest your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Is that right, brethren? See, if your righteousness, if it doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes, the Jews said, wherefore have we fasted, save they, and thou takest no knowledge. Hallelujah. God said that you fast to smite with the fist of wickedness. He said you're not concerned about the hungry, and you're not concerned about the poor, and you're not concerned about the needy. He said when you get concerned about the poor and about the hungry and about the needy, then your health will return to you. And it will return to you speedily. When you get concerned about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in its unadulterated form, then God will do something for you, and you shall call and he shall say, here am I. Hallelujah. Now, you know, we are supposed to have a covering. Now listen to me. We're supposed to have a covering. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them a covering. Without that covering, we are naked before God. We are naked, we are wretched, we are blind unless we have that covering. When God created Adam, he gave him a covering. Is that right? What kind of covering did he give him? He said, come and let us make man in our own image. Isn't that right? He gave him the image of God as a covering. Come and let us make man in our own image. And he gave Adam the image of God as a covering. Hallelujah. Come and let us make man in our own image. And so he covered man. Hallelujah. With the Shekinah covering of God. And man was fully clothed with the glory of God. He was not naked. He was not barren. He was not without the love of God and the understanding of Christ. But the covering of the Shekinah glory of God came down upon him. Every day. Hallelujah. And his fields was wet with the dews of heaven. And the trees hang full of fruit. And the glory of God was his reward. And a beautiful river of life flowed from that garden. And replenished the earth with water. That there might be fruit. Hallelujah. And God made a covering with him and said, son, this is my covering. I cover thee with my covering. This is my covenant with thee. Hallelujah. And so God made him in his own image. But one day another voice began to speak. And that boy spoke to the weak part of him and spoke to the woman, the feminine part of him. Amen. You know there's a weak part of man. How many know that? There's a weak part of man, and God made a woman to show that weak part of man. Is that right? What is the weak part of man? It's his body. It's his being. It's that old man. That's the weak part. That's the feminine part of it. But there's a masculine part of man. What part is that? That's that Christ within you, the hope of glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's that husband man that's in there. And brothers, when we listen to the feminine part of it, then we fall into the errors that Adam fell in through the weakness of his wife. Is that right? Yeah. When we lean to our own understanding, then we're partakers of the tree of knowledge. Is that right? The Bible teaches not to lean to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. But every time we lean to our own understanding, then we get into trouble. Why? Because that understanding is the tree of knowledge. There's a lot of people in the world, they're nothing but just a great big tree of knowledge. Amen. They don't have the Holy Spirit, they don't have the presence of God with them. They don't know what living for God is, but they're just a great big tree of understanding and knowledge. That's all they are. They've got a lot to say, but don't have the presence of Spirit and anointing of Christ with it. A lot are doctors of philosophy. Amen. A lot of knowledge. Is that right? But now God gave Adam a covering. He made a covenant with him, and he gave him a covering. And what was that covering? It was the image of the living God. Come, let us make man in our own image. Is that right? And so that he made man in his own image. But when Adam turned away from God, the voice said, Adam, that is the tree of knowledge, and the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Why? Because that tree will produce unbelief, and the just shall live by faith. Is that right? You've got to have faith in what I say to you, Adam, if you're going to live. For my words are spirit, and my words are life. Amen. But if you turn to the tree of knowledge, it's going to gender unbelief. Is that right? In the world of science, you got to prove that it's this, and you got to prove that it's that. And the facts say that it must be like that. Hallelujah. But when God comes along, the truth defies the facts. Is that right? And the truth says it's like this regardless to what science says about it. Hallelujah. Scientists say you must die, and they'll put you in the grave, and you can't get out. But God said, he that believeth on me is passed from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then there is a covering from God. What is that covering? Adam lost it in the garden, and from that time all the way down to Calvary, men suffered. Why? Because when that covering was gone, Adam stepped out there, and the Lord came looking for him, and the Lord said, Adam, where art thou? Adam, Eve, where art thou? I can't find you. Where are you? And Adam said, Lord, we hid ourselves. Why did you hide yourself, Adam? Because we are without a covering. We've lost our covering. And we are naked, he said. But God said, who taught that doctrine to you? Come on now. Hallelujah. Where'd you get such a doctrine, Adam? Said, well, a voice told us that we was in that condition and said we got us some fig leaves because we knew we need a covering. Amen. Amen. God said, Adam, the fig leaves won't do. Now listen now. I made a water covenant with you, and you was under that water covenant, and all you had to do was eat of the fruit of them trees, and water would have sustained life, and that's all you needed. But you fell from that condition, and that covenant won't do anymore. So then you can't cover with the leaves of the tree. There's got to be another covenant. You fall into a beast condition. You come down to blood. There must be a sacrifice of blood because you've listened to Satan working through the beast of the garden, and you brought yourself down to a beastly level. Is that right? So we must have a covering. And what is that covering? God brought skins and he put them on skins. And today they're still wearing the skins. Is that right? Today, instead of being in the image of God, you're in the image of the beast today. And you still got the skins. Come on now. Hallelujah. You still got the skins. God covered them with skins, made them coats of skin. And today we still have a covering of skin. and God kept them under a blood covering all the way over to Calvary. Is that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah, because it come down to beast level. Blood had to be spilt because the life is in the blood, and the blood was the covering of the life that produced an image of the beast. And so then a beast sacrifice had to pay for it, because a beast was guilty of the fall from the garden. Come on now. Hallelujah. And so then God brought them into a beast covering, and he gave them a beast body, and he gave them a covering of skin. And today, we don't have the image of God. We don't have the covering of God. We've separated ourselves from the covering of God. And God said to them, after they fell, he said, you cover with a covering, but the covering is not of me. Is that right? I made a covenant with you, and the water covenant was fine, but now there has to be another covenant. There has to be a beast covenant. There has to be a covenant of blood. Water, blood, and spirit. Is that right? Had to be a covenant of blood. And so then the water deluge set in, and it ended with Noah. And from that time, God changed the covenant and put those beasts in the ark and said, Noah, now you take of that which you're going to eat, because on the other side of this water deluge, there's going to be a covenant of blood. You're going to have to live by meat and flesh. Hallelujah. Love Jesus. Any water around here? Somebody say hallelujah while I get a drink of water. Hallelujah. All right, let's look just a little further, and then we'll let you go. What is that covering? Today, the image of God has been lost. What is the preeminent image in the world today? It is the image of the beast. Now listen, I've said this a lot of time in ministering, and I want to say it here to clarify a fact. In that garden, there was a beast. Now, what was that beast? That beast was a man. That beast was a man. In that garden, there was a beast. What was he? He was a man. He still is a man. That's why they have the theory of evolution and trace their descendants from a monkey over into a man, because they're nothing more than a beast. Hallelujah. But you can't take the Son of God's origin and trace it from a monkey. It came from God. We're not a son of a monkey. Hallelujah. All right. So then there is a covering. And what is that covering, brothers and sisters? That covering was skin. That covering was skin. There was a beast in that garden. Who was that beast? That beast was a man. Who is that today? It is a man. That beast is still in the world today. And he is a man. And as we said a lot of times, the Bible said he was cursed because he'd done wrong, and God put him on his belly. And what does man do? The Bible said all of his labor as far as belly, cause his belly crazy on him. He is a beast and a generation of vipers. He is the serpent, and he's on his belly. And on his belly he goes all the days of his life. Because God put him on his belly. And so then the image of the beast is present. What is that image? It is the image of a man. And what does that man do? He, to the natural understanding, he looks like a son of God. He talks like a son of God. He walks like a son of God. He eats like a son of God. But he's not a son of God. What is it? He's a beast. Amen. And the soul of the beast go down deep into the pit. Is that right? Brute beast made to be taken and burned. But what happened to the soul of the sons of God? They go up. Is that right? Elevated into the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. Then what are we tonight? We're either a beast or we are a son of God tonight. Hallelujah. I told somebody this afternoon, I said, you know, we're nothing more than just like a little old can with water in it. You take it and put it in there. You put a hole in it. Hold that thing bottom upwards. Don't let any air to it. And then it begins to flip and flop and go in and out as the water comes out of it. Just like a heartbeat. I said, that's all we are, is the breath of life. And unless we switch over to the divine virtues of God and the divine love of Christ, then we're nothing more than a beast whose breath is in his nostrils. And if he doesn't switch over to the sonship of God and the mind of Christ and the life of Christ, he dies like a beast, and they put him in the earth. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shall return. All right. God created Adam for what? For sonship. But he lost that sonship. He was under the divine covering of the Almighty God, under the Shekinah glory. Now listen. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, Adam had eternal life. That couldn't be. Adam never had eternal life. If Adam had eternal life, he couldn't have died. Eternal life means to never die. He could not have died if he had eternal life. He couldn't possibly have eternal life. If he had eternal life, he could never have died. He died. That proved he did not have eternal life. Now, he was in the presence of the covering of God. He was in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. And the Shekinah glory of God came down from heaven just like the grace of God is over the earth today. And that Shekinah, as long as it abode upon Adam, he could not die. But just as quick as he was enticed by the beast's mind, led up from under the protecting covering of God, out from under the Shekinah, then the Bible said, the day that thou leanest to thine own understanding, the day that thou eatest thereof, that day thou shalt surely die. And he died. He died. How did he die? Out of the presence of God. God said, Moses, go up in my presence, we'll go with you. Joshua, go up in my presence, we'll go with you. As I have covenanted with you, I have not broke my covenant as I have covenanted with you. So it remains today that my presence is among you. Is that right? With my covenant, I have given it unto you. My presence is with you, Brother Thomas. And you fight the battle and you go up, and my presence will go with you. Hallelujah! Because we are sons of the living God. And so it was that Adam lost the covering of God. He lost the Shekinah presence of God. There, when he lost that, he lost the nature and the image of sonship. And then when he fell from the presence of God, God had to look for a second man, Adam. Hallelujah. He started searching for that sonship that was lost. He had made man in his own image, and that image had been lost, and he had dropped down to the image of a beast, and God began to look for that sonship image. Come on now. That's why the Bible said a woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels. Her hair is a covering. Her hair is a glory. Her hair represents the feminine part of man that was taken out of God. It represents the presence of the Lord. It is a covering for a woman to prophesy. Oh, with her head uncovered, it is all as if she was shaven. It is a shame. If she cuts her hair off, then she is in rebellion to her husband. Because the government is to be upon her shoulders. That's why the devil will try to make her bob it, pin it up, cut it, do anything with it, get it off the shoulders. But if I was your lady, I'd get my hair down on my shoulders if it's the last thing ever done. For the government shall be upon the shoulders as she represents the church. All right, let's go to the little father. Hundreds of thousands of people believe that they're on their way to heaven today when they're on their way to hell. Amen. So then what is that covering? We must have a covering. What is that covering? That's why the tablets shave their heads. They shave the covering off to show that they've been dishonored by God. It shows their honor and glory has been taken away. And what do? They put a veil over their head. They put a covering over their head, a covering of darkness. Why do they do that? Because the Bible said you cover with a covering, but not of God. But what is that covering? It's the mind of Jesus Christ. What is that veil that's over there? It's that dark veil of intellectual understanding. Where Paul said we see God by types and shadows, that is through a glass darkly. Amen. Amen. But someday the light's going to shine. Amen. Hallelujah. In the evening time it shall come to pass, Brother Isaac, that there shall be light. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But gross darkness shall cover the world. Amen. What is the gross darkness? It's the intellectual veil of the evil understanding of the beast. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. God said, go down there and get me a wife for my son. Hallelujah. Go down there. and get me alive. And she come across there on them camels, come riding across the desert. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. She got down there at the well. Just give me a little time now. We'll close. Come down there at the well. When they got down there at the well, old Eliezer stood there. He had done slipped his hand under Abraham, said, slip it under my thigh, son. Take a covenant now. Hallelujah. I'm going to send you on a journey. It's time for a marriage. Saying, Brother Pike, why did he slip it under his thigh? Because that old brother over there had wrestled. And wrestle back over there. There was a time to come when he was going to wrestle with the angel of God. And God was looking to the future where there'd be a covenant established when the angel reached down and touched the thigh there when it come out of John. And from that time they made it a wave offering. A heave offering. You follow me? What was it? It was God doing something. Said Eliezer, go down there and get a bride. Went down there and Eliezer said, God, make my way prosperous. Said, I'm going to stand here by the well, and when them ladies come out here, I'm going to look for some virtue. Come on now. Yeah. Amen. That message I preached the other night on virtue. When there's no virtue, death sets in. When there's no virtue, sickness sets in. How do you remember that message? I wish we had time to go into it tonight. But he said, I'm going to look something here. I'm going to look for some virtue. And the Bible said in the evening time, the virgins came out to draw water. Yeah. Hallelujah. I tell you, we probably could find a well today, but I don't think we could find any virtues. I said, I think we've got plenty of wells, but if we waited for a virgin to come out, I don't think we'd have a marriage anymore. Is that right? And so he stood by the well. As he stood by the well, then when this woman come out, he began to talk to her, and he found that she was a virgin. And he found out that she was the one that would water the camels. He said, if this be the one, when I ask for water, let her say, I'll water the camels. And so it was, she watered the camels. Hallelujah. It wasn't long before she had all them beautiful jewels that Abraham sent down there. And she put part of that covenant on here and she waited to get the rest of it. The half has never yet been told. Is that right? Hallelujah. And so then they said, you think you're going to go with him? And she said, I'll go. I'll go. So she went up on top of one of them camels, and there them 10 camels, like the 10 commandments, across that hot burning desert. As I preached here on the 10th, the last time I was up here, Revelation said, these are they that keep the faith of Jesus Christ and the commandments of God. And she wanted them commandments, because it was them commandments that was to take her across that hot, blistering, dry places where the demons wander. Hallelujah. And so she nourished those camels, and she filled them with water. And then she got upon it and she put the veil over her face. That glass darkly. But the Bible said as she crossed it, Eliezer being a type of the Holy Ghost, taking them 10 commandments over there, the covenant of Jesus Christ, as she got across that, when she got across that great desert, when she come across the other side, she looked and behold, there was Isaac. Hallelujah. Amen. She'd never seen him before. But the Bible said he was meditating in the evening time. He went out to meditate in the evening time. Not like a bunch of preachers of today, not to be full of chicken and go out to sleep in the evening time, but go out to meditate in the evening time. And the Bible said he was out there meditating in the evening time, and about that time the camels come, he saw the camel train. And Rebecca looked up and said, who is that, Eliezer? Said, that's my master. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you want to see my master tonight, just look over the hilltop there across the great valley and you can see my master. The shades of evening is falling, but you can see him right there. Hallelujah. He's waiting for the camel train. And so then when she got across there, she lighted down off the camel, and the Bible said he took her into the mother's tent. And when he took her into the mother's tent, it was the custom that they remained veiled until the marriage. Isn't that right? That's why God suffered you to fall into the hands of that evil power, that evil mind of Satan, to slip that mind over you of Satan, that intellectual veil, to keep you humble and keep you in humility and to keep you shamefaced, that the devil couldn't get a hold of you until the day of the marriage, and then God will unveil the thing and let you see face to face and eye to eye. Hallelujah. So then he took her into the tent. And he took the veil off. And when he took the veil off, he saw her as she was. and she saw him as he is. Is that right? Oh, we shall see him as he is when he comes. What is it? The covering. What is that covering? The image of my master. When a woman marries a man, she takes on his image. She leaves her family. Get thee out of the land of thy kindred. Get thee out of the land of that flesh. Be one with your husband. Don't turn to look back into Egypt. Conform to the ways of your husband. Be one with your husband, for he is the head and he is the membership. Behold, I show you a great mystery. We shall not all sleep but be changed. Hallelujah. I show you a great mystery. He said, a man and a wife no longer twain but shall be one. Is that right? What is that? One head and many members. Is that right? That man is the one head and she's the members of the body. Is that right? Jesus Christ is the head and we're the members of the body. Is that right? And so then that is the mystery of the church. Christ is the head. Hallelujah. What is the covering? The covering is the image of the Son of God. What was lost in the garden? The image of the Son of God. And God slipped the veil over us. Slipped the veil over us. But we're getting close to the evening time now. At the evening time, it shall come to pass. There shall be light because the camel train will be coming. Hallelujah. The camel train will be coming. Amen. And so then, we see that covering. Hallelujah. We see that covering. What is that covering? That beast, that man, is in the world today. And he looks just like a son of God, but he's not a son of God. Hallelujah. He's not a son of God. It's like the story about the eagle that got caught down there in the barnyard. You've heard the story of the eagle that got caught in the barnyard. He's down there in the barnyard with the chickens, and he might cluck like one of them. But the little story said when the great eagle mother flew overhead and she gave a scream, the little old eagle down there, he lost his relativeness to the chickens. Amen. He couldn't stay with the chickens no more. You might be down here in the hot pens of the world, and you might have to put up with the stench of the flesh, but you're sons and daughters of the living God, and one day that scream from heaven's coming, and you're going to be like the little eagle, and you're going to be heavenly born. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So then what is it? We're getting nearer to the covering. What is the covering? It's the redemption of the body. What is that that was lost? It was the bodily image of Jesus Christ. Who is this that lives on the inside today? It is the second man, Adam. And who am I today? I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. I talk by him. I testify by him. I live by him. I walk by him. I see by him. Today I have not my understanding but his. I have not my faith but his. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? All right. So then, what is it? We're getting near the redemption of the body. We're getting near the resurrection of the dead. We're getting closer to the great, mighty resurrection of the living God. The time is at hand, Jesus said. Let him that is filthy be filthy still. Let him that is just be just still. Hallelujah. And so then we're getting close to the resurrection from the dead. That's what this represents up here, gang. I made the statement not too long ago. I said, watch and see at this coming of the revelation, that it will be typical of the revelation of the resurrection of the dead. And I said, men like Brother Thomas that had ministries in years gone by, that people think are dead and will preach no more, they'll come out of them graves and they'll start preaching, and here he is. There's been a number of the elders that's come back here as of late. Some of these brethren can testify of it. They're springing up everywhere and beginning to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Getting close to the crossing now. Hallelujah. What is that covering? When that woman takes off that covering, she takes off that Shekinah glory. She takes off that covering, and the Bible said she is naked in the sight of God as if she was shaven. And what happened to Eve? Eve rejected the government of her husband. And she was naked in the sight of God. Is that right? She sought a covering because she rejected the government of her husband. And what was Eve a type of to Adam? It meant that Adam, which was the feminine part of God, he had rejected the government of God, who is the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever to every generation. Adam, who was the feminine part, he rejected the government of God. He walked off when the Word of God said, don't do it. Adam turned his face away and obeyed the voice of his wife. What was that? That was the beast part. Come on now. That was the beast part because it had been subdued by the beast.
Amen.
And so then that was the beast part. Now then, the Bible said it was the most beautiful thing in the garden. Is that right?
Yes.
The nearest thing to a man. Is that right?
Yes.
Walks like him, talks like him, but he's a man, not a son of God.
Yes.
Not a son of God. The highest form of living and life in this world is a man. But and Satan seeks to hide to have the highest form of living by going through the beast to a man. But there is another form that's higher living than that. And Satan can't reach that. He might get into the highest form of living in this life and personify himself in a man and take over this world. But he'll never get the high planes of living that God has got ordained for the church. There's a sonship life that excels the life of the beast that's in this world. And that is the life of God. All right, let's close out here in just a minute or two now. We'll take just a few more minutes. What is the covering? What is that covering? We need any time just to get a little sip of water here. Water in the camel. All right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now then, when we get to that place, that is the covering. What is that covering? It's that image. But where is that image? It's been lost. And we're searching for something. Jesus said, I come to seek and to search and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. That image has been lost. It's been taken away. Then what are we going to do? We're looking for that image. Paul comes with a revelation. What does Paul say? I have the revelation of Jesus Christ. You'll never find that covering in the doctrine of the Baptists or the Methodists or the Presbyterians or the Catholics or the Pentecostals or anybody else. It's in the revelation of Jesus the Christ. There is no other place to get the mysteries of God. Now the gospel is to all people. The gospel is to every creature. And you can get the gospel in the Pentecostal church. You can get the gospel if you go to some Methodist churches. Some of them preach holiness. But brothers and sisters, it's like Jesus told the disciples one time. They said, Master, why is it that you speak to these people in parables? Said, because it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You can hear the gospel, it's a simple thing, but when it comes to the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the Bible said, great is the mysteries of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of godliness. Jesus said, it's not given to them to know it, but to you it is given. Isn't that wonderful? Now that's the difference between the rapture of the church and just preaching. See, the one that's going to make that rapture is them that's going to get that mystery. It's given unto the church to know the mysteries. And they've got something special. God has held something special back from them. So that they could get it in the end time. The world can't get it. But Jesus said, unto you it is given. Unto them it is not given, but unto you it is given. You say, Brother Pike, prove that. Because the Bible teaches that God did not let the Jews have it because he did not give Peter and him the revelation of Jesus Christ at that time. But he called Paul the apostle and gave Paul the revelation. Is that right? And Paul said, I'm the Gentile apostle. I'm the apostle of Brother Thomas. I'm the apostle of this brother. I'm the apostle of the Gentile church. I've got the mysteries. And the revelation of Jesus Christ was made known to me. Old Brother John on the Isle of Patmos got exiled over there. And God said, come up here, John. What do you want to show me, Lord? And the book said, the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus.
Amen.
All right, so what is it? That is a mystery to be unveiled. What is that mystery? The thing that has taken place, the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Where is that covering? Where is that covering today? Paul got a revelation and he spoke like this. Paul said, as many as been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ.
Yeah.
Is that right? I've crucified the old man that the skin was put on and he's buried and he's gone and he don't live anymore. That old beastly part is buried and done away with. That feminine part that was weak, I put it in the grave.
Yeah.
Is that right? But he said, he that is baptized in Christ has put on Christ. You're buried with me in baptism. But you're resurrected with me in the newness of life. And Paul said, when I come up out of the water, it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. Hallelujah. For I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. Not only am I the bone of Christ and the flesh of Christ, but brothers and sisters, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on now. I'm talking about the mystery. I am the right. That makes me feel like dancing. Glory to God, it gets all over me. I tell you, it does. Hallelujah. I feel it go all over me. What is it? I am the righteousness of God in Christ, Paul said. I am his bone. I am his flesh. That old me, that old beast part, that old troublemaker. Dead, buried, laid down beneath the water. And the Bible said we have put on Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Come on now. Hallelujah. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he said we needed a wedding garment. There's going to be a wedding and we don't want to be found unclothed. Peter said, Lord, we don't desire to be unclothed, but we groan. And Paul said, we groan to be clothed upon by our body from heaven. What is that body from heaven? That image of the beast. We born the image of the earthly, Paul said. That's the image of the beast, the image of the earthly from the dust art. Is that right? But then there was a Christ that rose from the earth for the justification of mankind. Hallelujah. Jesus was nailed to the cross for my offenses. But Christ rose as proof of my justification. We love him. So then put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? There's going to be a wedding. I need a wedding garment. In the last days to be laid out of sin, lukewarm. The Bible said blind, naked, wretched. Not having the wedding garment, having a name that you live, but you're dead. Amen. So then what did he say? He said, I counsel you to buy me a raiment that's tried in the fire. I like that, don't you? Said that body of the Lord Jesus that went down into the flames of hell. That body that went through the fire, that raiment, that covering, that garment. Hallelujah. Said, I counsel you to buy me that kind of raiment. Said, if you can't get a hold of it, you better put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. For everyone that cometh into this place without the wedding garment shall be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. Is that right? That's why we must live holy. That's why we must walk holy. That's why we must do holy. We must do everything according to the writings of Christ Jesus our Savior. Why? To put ye on the Word. For he is the Word. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? That covering. That image. Adam lost the covering. And he was naked. But glory to God, that raiment that's tried in the fire. When you slip that garment on, hallelujah, you're no longer naked in the sight of God. But you've got a wedding garment that'll pass through the fire. Hallelujah. The covering of his glory. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. Find that covering of sonship once again. Become the image of God once again, not the image of the beast.
That's right.
But become sonship once again. Become the sons of God. Take on the image once again. For he made man in his image. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and 4,000, and 5,000. He said, come and let us make man. Time to make man in his image. Hallelujah. Then come down to the place. It's time to make man in his image. Is that right? In the Word, in the hallelujah. Jesus was the Word, was made flesh. How do you believe that's true? Have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Let me see your hand. Have you got on the Lord Jesus tonight? Rain with his child in the fire tonight. I want you to stand with me tonight if you got on the wedding garment tonight. Hallelujah, that redemption of the body. You say, Brother Pike, we are waiting for the redemption of the body. Peter said, another tabernacle eternal in the heavens not made with hands. Hallelujah. That first tabernacle is gone, but that next tabernacle was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That one that's in the Spirit, for in the Spirit is heaven. Hallelujah. Let's put on this tabernacle tonight, the redemption of the body. You say, but Brother Pike, we're waiting for the redemption. The Bible doesn't teach that we're waiting for the redemption. That's an error. We don't have to wait for the redemption. The Bible doesn't teach we're waiting for the redemption. But the Bible said we're waiting till we're with the redemption of the body. Hallelujah. Witty old gents, searched out witty inventions, shall be wise and witty. Hallelujah. There'll come a knowledge one day, an understanding one day. And in that knowledge we shall see Him. In that revelation we shall understand. And when we see, we shall hear and see and believe, and with the redemption of our body. What is the redemption of our body? That I'm bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. I rise from death and alive. Hallelujah. I shall never come into condemnation, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Tonight, you're wonderful people, and I'm the least among you, but I love you. I appreciate you tonight. Appreciate you for patiently listening to me, and I hope that something that has been said or done might be a benefit to you in your salvation and in your extensive outlook for Jesus. If you're searching for Him, Paul said He's not far, He's above you, He's in you, and He's through. Hallelujah. For He is, He was, and He forever shall be. Hallelujah. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the day sprang from on high, that's visited His people. For the Bible said, great light is sprang up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. And David said, yea, though I walk through this valley, looking down from heaven, this world is a valley. Yea, I walk through this valley, Lord. And David said, the shadow of death hovers over me. The demon, the shadows, like the clouds from heaven as the sun throws the shadow on the earth. Like the light that throws my shadow down. David said, I'm under these shadows, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of this death, yet I shall fear no evil. My heart is encouraged, and I shall fear no evil. For he said, thou art with me, O Lord. Thy rod and thy staff. What is His rod and His staff? The Word and the Spirit. Thy rod and thy staff, they are a comfort unto me, O Lord. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of this death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. We don't have to fear tonight, for God is with us. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes tonight with me. Lift your hands up if you will. And I want us to talk to Jesus just a few minutes tonight, man. A lot of things I could say and do, but I've helped you a long time tonight. I just want to lift your hands up, and I want to pray for you. Maybe you're sick in your body tonight. Maybe you need a touch in your body tonight. Listen, Christian friend, you can be healed tonight. You say, Brother Pike, how can I be healed? I promise you on the authority of God's lovely word that you can be healed. If you've got cancer tonight, if you've got TB tonight, if you've got a heart condition tonight, no matter what's wrong with you tonight, if you fear insanity tonight because of oppression, you can be healed tonight. You can be healed tonight. You say, Brother Pike, how can I be healed? By doing one thing, listen to me, you can never be healed by trusting in your ability. You can never be healed by trusting in your faith. You can never be healed by believing in your righteousness. But tonight, if I can convince you that you're the body of the Lord Jesus tonight, that body holds no sickness, that body has no sorrow, that body has no spots, that body has no blemish. You are without spot tonight. A lamb without blemish tonight. For you are His divine lovely body tonight. And all sickness is left on the other side of Calvary. And tonight you are free from sickness tonight. And you don't have to worry about how good you can live to get healed. For the Bible said we are the righteousness of God in Christ. If you can believe tonight that you are the righteousness of God in Christ by the new birth, that we are complete in Him. My brother and sister, if you can believe that tonight, your faith will soar up to heaven. If you can really believe that you've got to have His righteousness. And the man said, Lord, I'm not like the others. I thank you, I'm not like the others. I fast and I pray. But God said, that isn't good enough. Said, you've got to have a righteousness that goes beyond that of the Pharisees and scribes. You've got to have a righteousness that goes beyond fasting and praying. You've got to have a righteousness, amen, that excels the heaven. For unless your righteousness excels that of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise make the translation into this great world. What is that righteousness that excels? It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness of God. And the Bible said, declare it His time, this time His righteousness. I am here this night to declare it is this time God's righteousness. Ye are the righteousness of God in Christ. I declare unto you tonight the righteousness of God in Christ tonight. And you are the righteousness of God, and you don't have to be sick tonight. Hallelujah. You don't have to be sick tonight. You are God's righteousness tonight in the earth, my brothers and sisters. Canst thou believe? Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them to believe. Hallelujah, you're His righteousness tonight. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sister, I want you to come right here. I want to pray for you if you will. Will you come right here? You. Come right here, will you? Yes. You love Jesus. You love Jesus. That's all right. Come on up, sister, if you will come. That's perfectly all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This sister believed what I'm saying. Her spirit bore witness there that she believed what I was talking about. And her heart was really searching and trying to grasp what I was saying to apply it to her heart and make it a reality to her heart that she could have the benefit. And I'll tell you what, if she, as well as you tonight, will lean on Christ, if you'll lean on Christ, don't reason tonight. I feel a number of you tonight that believe what I'm telling you. But you know that old carnal mind draws you. And the Bible said, ask without wavering. Nothing wavering. Ask without wavering tonight now. You can have everything that you want. Ask without wavering tonight. While they're playing, if you want me to pray for you tonight, I'll pray for you. And I'll tell you what, God will heal you tonight. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, you don't know. Yes, I do know. He'll heal you tonight. There won't be any playing around about it. God will make you well tonight. He'll heal you tonight. If you won't lean to your understanding tonight and you step out here tonight, God will heal you tonight. Amen. I love Him, don't you? I love Him, don't you? How can I have my healing tonight? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I believe you, believe it, brother. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How many of you together tonight can repeat that with me? Say this with me tonight. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Say it again. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. We're the righteousness of God in Christ tonight. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, why do you get so excited over them? Because if I am the righteousness of God in Christ, then that means I cannot sin because I'm born of God. There is no sin in the righteousness of Christ. If I cannot sin, I cannot die. Oh, death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death, this sin, and he that is born of God cannot sin. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Jesus took the sting out of Calvary. Where is thy sting, oh, death? And if death has no sting, then grave, where's your victory? I said, grave, where's your victory? Where's your victory, grave? If the sting of death is gone, where is the victory of the grave? What causes sickness? Sin. What causes sickness? Sin. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for my sister tonight. Heal. Heal, Jesus. I feel you healing right now. Heal. I feel your divine spirit, the righteousness of God. Heal. Forgive. Restore you. The long awaited desire. Look for joy. This woman is designed by joy. Joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for Brother Cantrell, dear God, anoint this man. Anoint him with your spirit. The righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. God is the righteousness of God in Christ. Hear and see. Break every yoke. Let him feel the union of the great spirit. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight. Bless this darling little lady tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. You got warmth. I believe God will heal, don't you? Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want them to go because of Jesus. They will go because of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight, I speak healing to these little hands. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lift your hands up tonight. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. Can you sing it with me? Can you raise it a little, sister? Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Mm-hmm.